Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Overtime loss for the Buffalo Sabres. Pavel Zacha's fifth of the year in overtime. Beats Carter Hutton cleanly. The only shot of the OT goes to the Devils, and it goes in. 4-3 the final. New Jersey remaining ahead of Buffalo in the standings as we welcome you here to the Press Box and the Paul William Belts postgame show. I'm Brian Koziel. Thank you for being with us here along the Buffalo Sabres radio network. Well, an opportunity for the Sabres to, at the very least, get themselves out of the basement in the East, and it goes for naught tonight. As the Sabres find themselves on the short end of an OT loss by a 4-3 final. Taylor Hall with a key penalty, which led to a power play goal. And then just as Hall was stepping out of the box, another one, which turned a Sabre one-goal lead in the third into a one-goal deficit. Now, Hall made a nice pass to set up Reinhardt on the power play in the third, which did get the Sabres to overtime. But eventually it's Zacha who beats Hutton. And it looked like Hutton had a clean look at that. It was a good shot up high, but no deflection or screen, at least as far as what I could see. And the Sabres fall to the Devils. And a 4-3 final. We'll update you on the standings. We'll get live locker room reaction coming up here on the Zoom call in just a few moments. But let's get Paul Hamilton's first take on this one. Paul, against the Devils, we know they've had success. And obviously giving up two more points to the Devils in the standings is not ideal for Buffalo.
Yeah, and well, they've lost two games to them here. And, you know, that's... You know, they beat him, and then they lost two to him here, and then they've beaten him twice in New Jersey. So I guess they're up one game on him, and that's it. But, you know, this Taylor Hall penalty really took it away from them, a four-minute penalty. Now, they both weren't power play goals, but they get one power play goal, and the second goal came a little bit after. Hall came out on the ice. Hall was still on the ice. He didn't get to the bench, so it was pretty quick after the penalty was over. So, you know, you take that four-minute penalty. You got the lead when you do it. Next thing you know, you're behind.
Yeah, and Paul Hall had opportunities himself to maybe make a big difference in this game beyond, obviously, that penalty in a negative way. He had some great looks early in the game that we talked about during the intermission, but if he's able to finish on some of those, I mean, obviously, maybe we're having a different discussion right now.
And he's got to. That's what he's paid to do. I mean, and he's had too many of those where he walks in all by himself, and quite honestly, it's not even close. I mean, it's not like the goalie has to make a phenomenal save or anything like that.
Paul Hamilton here with me, Brian Koziel. Speaking of Taylor Hall, let's go there first as he is live on the Zoom call. Here's Taylor Hall. Stand by. We promise Taylor Hall here at any moment. Just waiting to line up the microphone. And, okay, now here we go. Here's Taylor Hall live on the post.
Taylor, you guys get the lead. Did you guys have any idea that Jack might not play, or was it depending on warm-up, or how did that go down? Did you guys know that it was a possibility that he might not?
No, we're all preparing individually to play the game, and after warm-up saw that he wouldn't be available, and you got to make do with the players that we have. He's a big part of our team. Obviously, he's the captain and the leader of our team. So just, he couldn't go. I know Jack, if he could play, he'd play. So obviously he must be hurt pretty bad. Not sure. I can't really comment on the injury or how severe it is, but for today, he obviously felt like he couldn't play.
Taylor, how do you balance this game for yourself? I mean, the great pass to get the tying goal, but all the chances you weren't able to convert, the penalty. I mean, you had a lot going on in this game. Well, what do you take away from it from your end?
Yeah, I don't even know, honestly. Like, it's just it's been, like I said before, it's been a tough go. When you don't see the puck on the back of the net, it makes you question a lot. As an offensive guy, you pride yourself on creating offense, and not just creating offense, but without scoring the other team. And right now, that's not happening. So maybe a little frustration there. I know Wood. I don't think my stick touched his lip or anything like that. But unfortunately, I got a 4-minute high sticking penalty. But that's the way it goes. I can't engage there, and got to be better for our team and for myself. But you know, luckily, I was able to make a play there at the end and salvage something for the night.
Taylor, when Sam's on a tear like he's been this past week here, just what do you see from him that's working?
He's got a very good eye of where to be in the offensive zone, whether it's power play or 5-on-5. He knows where the goalie is. He knows where the weakness is of their defense. And, he's a guy that seems to always be open, a trait that I would like to emulate a little bit better. And he's got fantastic touch around the net. That's what he prides himself on. And you see it in practice. You see it every day. There's not a puck that he can't tip or get a stick on. He's a great finisher, and he's scoring big goals for us right now in a time that we really need it.
All right, we're all set. Thanks, Taylor.
All right, there's Taylor Hall. And, Paul, he says he's struggling to kind of sum up his game. We were just talking about it. There were some great chances, couldn't score, takes a key penalty, but then feeds Reinhardt. So, I mean, you know, the back and forth that his night was definitely was on display there tonight. We saw from him, and he obviously couldn't really kind of put a wrap on his thoughts about it.
Yeah, it was one of those things that, you take the double minor. He didn't feel he got him on the lip, but there had to have been blood. Otherwise, they wouldn't have called the four. So, and we got another player sitting down here, so I'll throw it back to you, Brian.
Okay, thank you very much, Paul. All right, trying to see who's going to be coming up in here next. Sabres tonight fall by a score of 4-3. And let's go back to the room here. We'll find out who it is here momentarily, but let's get in on the Zoom call here next from the room.
Yeah, it's always exciting, and to be out there with guys who are so creative and such talented players, I think it's opens up a lot of opportunities. So you just try to make the most of it and stick to your game, stick to it, what you do best, and just go out there, have fun.
Obviously, Linus has been such an important part, starting almost every game. I don't know how long he'll be out, but what does that mean just to see him leave?
Yeah, it's tough. He's been amazing. I think up to this point, he's made some unreal saves. He battles so hard. Definitely we're confident with him back there, but Hutz is awesome. I mean, having him back there, there's a lot of confidence in him. And, he's such a great player, great person. So we got two special goaltenders.
Riley, by getting the puck from Victor, who causes the turnover, you quickly take the backhand shot. Do you think you took Blackwood by surprise by taking that backhand right away and getting it off so quickly?
Riley Shahan here, live on the post game.
Shooting position, and there's a defenseman there kind of blocking the forehand side, so I just tried to use my body to protect it, and Vic made a great play and just tried to get it off quick, and it looked like it kind of caught him by surprise.
Riley, how much were you aware that it was possible Jack might not go? And then what was your reaction when they told you to play up on that line?
Yeah, I was aware he was a little banged up. I didn't know tonight was going to be a game where him playing was in jeopardy, but kind of just came in after warmups and saw the lineup had changed and my name was up there with Vic and Sammy. So, it's kind of nice. You don't have much time to think about it. Just get ready and go. And like I said, try to make the best of it.
Finally, I know you have no problems playing center at all, but is it kind of weird where you're preparing to play wing and then all of a sudden you get thrown into the center position?
Not really. I mean, center's kind of been the spot I've played most of my career. And then this year, even playing with Laser, Mitzi, whoever it is, we kind of just sort of cycle through positions, and they've taken a lot of draws on that left side. And if you end up in the zone first, you act as a centerman. So, I mean, when you're there as a staple, it kind of, I feel like that's probably my comfort zone, but I think playing around the lineup is, I'm more than happy to play in any position.
All right, we're all set. Thanks, Riley.
Yeah.
Okay, Riley Sheahan there. He scored Buffalo's first goal, 6:28 to open into the game to open the scoring. That gave Buffalo a 1-0 lead, and said, yeah, you know, he was aware that Eichel was a little banged up, but didn't know that he might not be out or that he would be out. But said going from wing to center wasn't that too big of a deal for him. And obviously Sheahan did pretty well there. Okay, back to the room. Another Buffalo goal scorer was Casey Mittelstadt. Let's take you there live now to hear from Mittelstadt.
Obviously is where you need to be. Did you give him a yell there, or did he just see you break towards there?
I guess I don't even remember. I think probably a little bit of both. And that was a great pass by Stalzi. And obviously it feels good to get the first one out of the way. And it's a big goal at the time, so it felt good.
Casey, the zone entry on that power play in particular is what stood out to me. But you were just flying around all night tonight. What was clicking for you as you were getting going?
I don't know. I think sometimes you get the puck a few times early in the game and start feeling a little bit, and hands and your legs start feeling better. So I think it was just a product of that. And obviously they kind of gave me the middle on the entry. So just take it. And Oki did a good job getting there. And then we kind of got set up from there. So it ended up working out pretty good.
What's allowed you to develop some comfort this week, just enjoying a regular role again?
You know, I think it's just, I mean, I just go out and try to have fun every day. Like I've said before, you can see how I've seen how quickly it can be taken away. So just play every game and play every game hard and know that it can be taken at any time and try to make plays. And obviously I've been playing with Laser and Sheahan for the most part. So it's been nice, and they're pretty predictable and easy guys to play with. So obviously we had Tomer tonight, but I've played with Tomer so much that he fits right in. So I think it's a mix of both things. Obviously, I'm pretty close with a lot of guys in the room from the years past, and I think just being able to walk in, be comfortable, and know everyone helps a lot.
Casey, in the third period, you got to play a little bit of center again. Did it feel good to be back at center since you played wing mostly this year?
Yeah, I think it was good. Obviously, it's not too much different. I think you should go out and play, and played a lot of center in my life, so it's pretty easy to step into that. And yeah, we had a couple good shifts there, and yeah, it was nice. I think obviously we're down a goal there, and just go out, try to make a play, and I guess we ended up scoring the power play, so it all worked out.
We're all set. Thanks, Casey.
Yeah.
All right, there's Casey Mittelstadt. He got his first of the year on a nice feed from Stahl on the power play, which put Buffalo up 2-1. Of course, in overtime, it's Pavel Zacha's fifth of the year that ends up being the difference maker. New Jersey defeating Buffalo by a 4-3 score. The Sabres do get a point, but with New Jersey getting two, they remain in last in the Eastern Conference. Stay here on our Paul William Belts postgame. We'll be heading back to the locker room in just a few moments to hear from Sabres head coach Ralph Krueger. While we wait for the coach, let's get another couple of thoughts in here from Paul Hamilton. Paul Mittelstadt, we talked about maybe his mindset, a little bit more mature approach here. He mentioned trying to have fun, knowing he could be coming out at any moment. But he seems to be settling in nicely here with the injuries right now and some of the other issues we know with what's going on with Jeff Skinner. Mittelstadt at least seems to be in a role now here where probably he'll get to play here for at least the foreseeable near future.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how the injuries break down and how much longer Jeff Skinner is going to be put on the bench, and I think a lot of factors will go into it. This is the first time we got a chance to see him play center once the Sabres got behind in the third period. I would have let. I'm the type of person I would rather go for the win instead of playing not to lose. And I think Kruger played not to lose. Once they tied it at three, he took Mittelstadt off the center position and put Shea in back there. I would rather go for it. Leave Casey Mittelstadt there. It's, you know, you've tied the game. Go for the win. Go for it now. I don't like the sitting back approach and, you know, protect the point or whatever. I like the aggressive coach, and I'd rather see a coach go for a win instead of play not to lose.
I agree. I would like that mentality all the time. But, I mean, this is also a team, Paul, that you're trying to pass. So that conservative play, you're giving them kind of a free point that way.
No, exactly. It's almost like protect the point at all costs and let's get it to overtime and try to win it there. And they're in a position now where, you know, I think they've got to try to win it right off the bat. I mean, try to win it in regulation. They need regulation wins right now. They don't need to be giving teams points, especially when you're behind the whole division. You can't be giving teams points just because you're trying to get it to overtime. And I thought that he coached to try to get it to overtime and protect the 1 point.
Yeah. And here's another thing, too. I mean, 3-on-3, you have your best player not in the lineup tonight. I mean, Eichel would be out there for probably a good deal of the OT, Paul. So your chances of winning an OT, I'm not saying you can't score, but I would like it a lot more if you knew you had Eichel out there every other shift in OT.
Yeah, but again, I would just still you to give – to sit there and say, well, let's get it to OT and try to win it there. I mean, you're giving up at least 1 point, and in this case, two.
Yeah.
You wound up giving up 2 points, and you got one on your own. So, you know, you lost a point on that deal. Whereas if you go for it in regulation and you're able to push it across and get the win, now you picked up 2 points and the other team gets nothing. It's a big difference, especially with the hole they've dug themselves. And I just would like to see the more aggressive approach.
Yes. Paul, how about the game winner from Zacha there? It looked like Hutton had a clear look. What did you make of the shot? Would you have liked Hutton to stop that?
Yeah, it did look like he had a clear look on it. Just like the first goal, Irwin got beat for sure because of the speed. But, you know, it did look like to me that maybe that one you'd want to. But to have the lead and then take a 4-minute penalty, you know, that's you're in the third period, and you know, you give up the power play goal to tie it, and then right after the power play is over, you know, it winds up in your net, and now you're behind. You still get a chance to tie it, but all that does is get you a point as you wind up losing it in overtime.
As we talked about with Allmark going back to back Monday, Tuesday, Paul, and then of course 5 games over 7 days, we likely would have saw Hutton this weekend. Now though, that plan, whatever it was, maybe we'll have to be scrapped with Allmark leaving after the first.
We'll have to see what the injury is, but if he can't go, I think Hutton's got to go both games. Johansson has shown us time and time again he certainly is not an answer, so I don't think you could go that route. I think you definitely would have to go Hutton both games if Allmark's not ready to go.
I would agree. Sabres fall 4-3. Brian Koziol, Paul Hamilton here. We expect Ralph Kruger any moment. Let's get you the three stars of the game now. They're brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Mittelstadt, you just heard from him. He had a goal. He was the third star of this game tonight. Second star is Bratt. He's been good in this season so far with the Devils against the Sabres. He gets the assist on the game winner. And Zacha, of course, who's the goal scorer, Pavel Zacha, he is star number one. So there are your three stars tonight as we get you those here on our post-game show. Let's get you our spotlight review next. It's brought to you by Jim's Stakeout. No need to lace up for great food. Get it delivered. Visit jimsstakeout.com. Paul, how about the spotlight review on Tage Thompson? He gets in there at the last minute. Anything positive out of that game from him?
No, he tried hard, but it's just a lot of the puck bouncing off his stick and rolling off his stick, and he had a one-timer that he misfired on. He made a nice body check over on the wall on the far side. I like to see when he make. I mention it because I like to see when he has physical play. That's something I think he needs to add to his game. And I don't need fighting or anything like that. I just mean physical play. And but it looked like he hadn't played in a bit. He was bobbling the puck around and was having trouble corralling it.
Yeah. One thing we always see, Paul, too, now that we've seen the Devils quite a bit here, is Jack Hughes, we know, an explosive player. He's kept off the score sheet tonight. Maybe his best look was right away in the second. Hutton made a nice save on him. But overall, you'd think if you keep Hughes off the score sheet, you might win. That obviously didn't happen tonight. But what do you think of how they defended Hughes?
Yeah, they did a good job with him. But the Sabres did give up 39 shots on their goaltenders. And, 15 in the first period on Allmark until he played the period and got injured and had to leave. But that's too many. And, I know they'd like to, get down on that. I mean, 39, 32 are the shots. I think they, that's one thing they'll be talking about. That, and it's not that it wasn't defensive hockey. A lot of it was dumb plays. Like, what's Rasmus Dahlin doing coming from behind the net and going right out in front of Hutton? Now, they didn't score, but I believe it was Zacha took it right off him, and now he's right standing there with Hutton and forces him into a big save. I mean, what kind of play is that? You just come out and try to cut in front of the net with the puck, with Devil standing there? There were a lot of mental errors defensively that they made that they don't normally make that gave the Devils some fairly easy plays, forcing the Sabre goaltending into some good saves.
4-3, Devils win in overtime. Brian Koziol, Paul Hamilton here. Ralph Krueger, we expect any moment. We'll get his postgame thoughts. While we get to the top of the hour here, let's let our local affiliate stations identify themselves. 10-second station ID right here. 10-second station ID. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo. 98.5 FM, a radio.com station.
Back here at KeyBank Center from the press box, Ralph Krueger stepping up to the podium live. Let's take you there for his postgame thoughts following the 4-3 New Jersey OT win.
All right, well, we have to just do the obvious ones here. What is Jack's status and what is Linus Allmark's status at this point in your mind?
Yeah, I have to say Jack's lower body complications showed up in the warm-up, actually. It was not related to him not skating this morning. So it definitely caught us all by surprise. And the first diagnosis on it is day to day. And that the feeling he had that there was a risk of putting him into the game situation. So again, it's being assessed tonight. It's going to be assessed tomorrow. Linus, it's also lower body. And we have really no idea yet of the severity of the injury. I'll be honest with you. We need to take a deeper dive at it first thing in the morning. And we'll give you an update then after the skate. But it's an open injury where until we've got some pictures and we've got some deeper analysis, we can't tell you the situation.
Ralph, I know we'll get to the game issues in just a second, but I wanted to follow up on Jack, just so everyone's clear. Did he injure something in warmups, or did he re-aggravate something?
I mean, clearly every player right now, every player in the pace that we're on is dealing with something, right? So we've got things going on. Now, this was a completely new development. None of us had seen or heard of the situation. So it was something that occurred in the warm-up.
Well, as far as the game, I mean, you had to move up Riley, just a lot of late moves. Are you pleased with eking out a point, or just does this still sting like any other loss?
Yeah, I think under all the circumstances, Bill, I'm really proud of the group being able to get us into overtime. I think it's too bad we didn't get a line change there at about the 30, 40 second mark. We could have done better in overtime, but getting to overtime with all the chaos that was going on in and during the game, I thought the guys stuck with it. We're still able to produce on the power play, which has been our offensive machine this year. And, the effort and the battle level, everybody knows the injuries we have. Everybody knows the way the defense have been thrown into this responsibility. And overall, to put ourselves in a position to win in overtime was a good performance from the group.
with the goalie change and everything added up. But it be honest with you, it stings the same when it's done. And we need to, you know, we need to assess our situation pretty quickly and move towards the weekend. But on this one tonight, I am proud of the effort and the work that was put in to the game. Although, you know, we did have some breakdowns that, you know, we need to address.
Hi, Ralph. How difficult was the timing of the double minor for high sticking against Taylor? And right now, with the personnel that you're missing on the penalty kill, what's the challenge like of just getting that some cohesion with that group, considering you're missing Risto, McCabe, and Leader?
Yeah, no, I thought they'd been doing a really, really good job. And, you know, a double minor was just a little much for us to swallow. You know, our decor, not that experienced with PK at this level. Right through the whole group, we're asking guys to step up to roles that you know, they wouldn't be their primary role. And again, I think the compete is terrific. And there was some big shot blocks in this game again today on the PK and 5-on-5. You know, players like Cage stepping in late and or Hutz coming in when he did. I thought again, the battle level is something we can be proud of. But you know, we ended up actually turning the game on that 4-minute penalty, and it was at a bad time for us to manage that game properly in the third period.
All right, we're all set. Thank you, Ralph.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Okay, Sabres head coach Ralph Krueger, his press conference brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. 4-3 Devils in overtime, the final. Just to give you the key information here. So Ralph Krueger says, first of all, on Eichel, lower body, he said it showed up in the warm-ups. He said it caught them by surprise. He's calling it day-to-day. Then said that what happened in warm-ups is completely new. So if we thought maybe it was when he kind of got his leg or ankle rolled up on in the previous game on Tuesday, no connection there. Krueger also talked this morning on our flagship on WGR about Eichel dealing with his preseason upper body injury. So nothing to deal with that either. He has not made any connection between those three. He says it's completely new, not related to any previous situation. So that's Eichel. On Allmark, lower body injury. They have no idea the severity of the injury. Says he's hoping to update at the skate tomorrow morning. So there is the injury news. That obviously took up quite a bit of what Ralph Krueger said about tonight. On the team's effort, he said he was proud of the effort and the work that was put into the game tonight. Did say, of course, that the double minor penalty to Hall was something that they couldn't overcome and came at a key point there during the third period when the Sabres went from a 2-1 advantage to ultimately a 3-2 deficit. All right, let's get a final thought in here from Paul before we let him go. Paul, how about just the injuries here first here? Eichel and Allmark. I mean, Allmark's been one of their best players. Obviously, Eichel's their most talented player. I mean, this could be a really, really tough spot if either of them are out anytime.
You broke up there, Brian. Could you give me the question again?
Yeah, just on the injuries to Eichel and Allmark. I mean, obviously, Linus has been playing great. And I think there's a significant difference between Allmark and Hutton and what we're seeing right now. And then, of course, Eichel's their best player. If either of them are out for games, I mean, that would be obviously terrible news for a team right now that can't afford to have anybody out.
Well, Hutton's numbers had not been too bad in his last three, maybe four games until he got into this one. So this will be the outlier. And he played actually really well in the five periods he played in Philadelphia. 6-1 win, and when he left, it was 1-0. He was trailing when he left after the second period in the second game. So it's the Flyers coming in, so maybe you hope that he's got the Flyers numbers, and if he winds up to be the guy in net, would be able to continue what he did in Philadelphia in those two games.
That's right. All right, so we'll find out maybe more about Allmark tomorrow morning. He did label Eichel as day-to-day, although he did that with Will Borgenpaul, and then we know how that played out. So.
Yeah, you know me. I basically space out when coaches start talking about injuries because it's, you know, whatever. It's very often not what they say. So, you know, you just take it with a grain of salt.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Paul, we have Philadelphia coming in here for a pair of games on Saturday and Sunday. And again, tonight, as you know, not to belabor a point, but you said it. You go for the win. Not only in the standings could they have gone ahead of New Jersey, but they could have gone ahead of the Rangers too. And now you're going up and saying, okay, Philadelphia is next on our radar. We got them here. If you can sweep the weekend or take three out of four, you can gain some on that. Like, you kind of feel like it. And now, of course, well, now you're back behind New Jersey again. So you're still sitting in last, and now your best player and your starting goalie's injured. Like, it just mentally, it's got to be a struggle for these guys right now, thinking like they still have such a long hill to climb.
Yeah, it is. And as I said, maybe in the pregame, maybe they got to start taking it one team at a time. Catch one team, which they could have with a regulation win against New Jersey in this game. They could have passed New Jersey. So, you know, that would have given them an opportunity. And once you get past the one team, then set your sights on the other next team. And maybe that's the way you have to look at it. I mean, this division's too good. We know it. And, you know, to go on a 10 or 12 game winning streak, which is what it's going to take to get this team back into things, is just in this division is just wishful thinking.
Absolutely. Paul, thank you for your work. Looking forward to chatting here on the weekend with a pair of games against Philly.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton here with me on our Paul William Belts postgame show. Sabres fall 4-3, now 6-8-3 on the season, 15 points. We'll break down the standings in full with Pat coming up. He'll give us the busy scoreboard night in the NHL. When we come back, though, a couple of more highlights, a couple of more stats as we roll on here on our postgame show from KeyBank Center. For all of our local affiliates, though, we're going to say goodbye to you. We'll talk to you Saturday, 1 o'clock, Sabres and Flyers here from downtown Buffalo. For all of you on WGR, stay with us. More postgame coming up. If you are leaving us and you want to come back, we welcome you. Check out the radio.com app or go to WGR550.com. Final and overtime, New Jersey 4, Buffalo 3. I'm Brian Colzio, live here at KeyBank Center. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Taylor Hall that time, and Allmark slaps that one with the big stick back to the point, tipped right on, rebound in front, stop, another one at the side of the net, Montour got the first one, Brad is stopped by Allmark, who's down, puck is still loose, Vatanen to the goal line with it, Brad into the slot, Heischer, Linus Allmark sticks the glove out and the pad and whatever he can get there,
and well, despite the Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Linus Allmark with a monster glove save in the first. Unfortunately, that is likely where he got hurt. We're calling it the save of the game, though. Either way, it was a thing of beauty. Brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. Great deals are waiting for you now at your Upstate Honda dealer. Brian Colzio back with you here on the Paul William Belts postgame. 4-3 Devils, the final in overtime. We're going to get you through the highlights now. And the moments of the game are brought to you by Firth Jewelers for all the moments in your life. Go forth to Firth. We'll pick it up third period. Sabres with a 2-1 lead. And Miles Wood, who's been good against the Sabres this year, quiet though in the last couple games, comes through on the power play with Hall in the box to tie it up at 2.
Devils trying to move off puck here and create a little bit of confusion. It'll be Ty Smith, now Severson, back up top to Smith, to the right circle. Gusev pass across, they get it to Wood, and he bangs it in to tie the game at 2 apiece.
Wood with his sixth as he swipes in the loose puck at 4:25, 2-2 the score. Now Hall remained in the box because it was a 4-minute minor, and just as he's coming out, Devils still with control. They take the lead on Heischer's first of the year.
Chip to the line and not out. Kept in by Zacha. Good stick by Stahl. Zacha sends it across. Heischer's backhand scores. With 13:15 to go in the third period, the New Jersey Devils with a couple of goals here in this frame have taken a 3-2 lead.
At 6:45, Heischer's first of the year gives New Jersey a 3-2 advantage and their first lead of the game. But A late power play for Buffalo coming through again. The Sabres get their second on the man advantage of the game. Hall with a beautiful pass to set up Reinhardt right on the doorstep.
50 seconds to go in the man advantage. Sabres are down by one here. 4:42 to go in the third. Hall in front. Reinhardt tips it in. We've got a tie game.
Reinhardt's seventh from Hall and Dahlin with 4.5 to go in the game on the power play. Tied things up at three, which eventually forced overtime, where the first shot of the OT went in, courtesy of Pavel Zacha.
Hughes hasn't left the ice yet. Now he will as he goes to the bench and drops it back. Brad is out there. And along with Smith, the solid skating defenseman, and Pavel Zacha. Now it's Brad down the right side, cuts to the middle. Zacha takes the shot and wins it in overtime.
Zacha's game winner, 117 into the OT, his fifth of the year from Bratt and Smith. 4-3 Devils, that's your game winner, and it's the goal of the game. Brought to you by Roswell Park, the designated cancer center of the Buffalo Sabres, urging men to get a second opinion at Roswell Park when they hear the words, "You have cancer." 4-3 final, those are your highlights. Time now to get connected with our fans, brought to you by Nextiva by Premcom, the official telephone system provider of the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres. We'll bring Pat Melicaro in here as well to get in on this. Pat, we're hearing from fans tonight on a lot of these tweets still just upset about who's playing, who's not. At this point, Ralph Krueger might not actually have any choice because they're physically running out of bodies, especially now if Eichel's out.
Yeah, you would have expected Jeff Skinner to replace Eichel as a late scratch tonight due to that lower body injury. But I think to everybody's surprise, it was Tage Thompson that was in the lineup, and an opportunity for Thompson maybe to, you know, show the head coach and reward the head coach for putting him in tonight. But, you know, it's a situation where at some point Jeff Skinner is going to have to get back in the lineup. And like we talked about in the first intermission, he's going to have to get back in at some point. You just wonder how this ends. Because something's going to have to break at some point.
They've called up Asplund. They put him in this week over Skinner. Mm-hmm. Tonight, of course, the late scratch of Eichel. Then they put Thompson in. The scratches now are only injured players. You have to have another call-up then if you're going to put somebody in. With the Sabres losing tonight, I've got to think, unless there is no future here, like, okay, he's going to be traded. We heard that Skinner's agent had a conversation with Kevin Adams. Like, unless there's the look, we're working on something here. There's just not a future here in Buffalo. Like, unless that was the conversation, he's got to come back in on Saturday, especially if Eichel's not playing.
Don't like to go down this road, but Jeff Skinner's making too much money to be sitting out of a game.
Yeah.
Now three games in, like we talked about in the first intermission. You can understand maybe one game, trying to get things right, chance to regroup, maybe sit out. And
if you really wanted to send that message,
right,
go ahead and do it.
One game makes sense. Yeah. But now for somebody who is one of your highest paid players on the team, they have to be now three straight games. And as you lay it out, Rasmus Asplund played over him two nights ago. Tonight, it's a late scratch. Tage Thompson's the one who is in the lineup instead of Jeff Skinner in the end. You would think Saturday he would get back in.
Yeah, and to me the solution's easy. If Eichel doesn't play, well, then you put Skinner in. Even if Eichel plays, I would take Thompson out and put Skinner back in. It's not like the Sabres played amazing tonight. Oh, you got to keep the lineup the same. You know how coaches are like that sometimes. Oh, we can't change the lineup because we won. Like, that didn't even happen. Thompson really did nothing of positive note. I'm not saying that he cost him the game or anything like that, but it was typical Tage Thompson. So just that's the move. It should be
moves.
Obvious.
Yeah.
Right. And if you don't want to just lose him forever, and Skinner, I think, is well-liked on this team, including with the captain. I think he and Eichel get along great. So I think if you don't want to start to lose him, if you haven't lost him already, in terms of or more doubt, you know, creeping in the minds of some of these guys, like it should have been tonight, to be honest, or even maybe Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Saturday seems like a no-brainer. But we'll find out. We'll have an hour pregame to break that down, of course. So, yeah, feel free to send us tweets. We always like to get connected with our fans. Send us at BrianWGR. And it's, again, brought to you by Nextiva by Premcom, the official telephone system provider of the Buffalo Bills and Sabres. All right, a busy night in the NHL, Pat. The Sabres, of course, had some other opponents in the East play. And let's check the scores now. Let's go our driver on the NHL. Final time here with Pat.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Dunn Tire, the official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. A couple of finals from the East Division in a moment. A couple of games still ongoing. Four unanswered goals for the Winnipeg Jets, who have now taken a 5-3 lead over Montreal and look like they're on their way to a victory. About 5 minutes left in that game up at Bell MTS Place, and the Jets with a 5-3 lead over Montreal. The other late game tonight, Canucks and Oilers midway through the opening period. There is no score between those Northern Division teams. Finals from the Eastern Division, the Islanders with five unanswered, five goals in the third period, trip up the Bruins tonight 7-2. The Capitals, a big third period, four goals in the third, 5-2 winners over the Penguins. Vitek Vanacek making 26 saves in the victory as well. The Lightning pick up a 3-1 win over the Hurricanes tonight, while the Panthers, three third period goals, sensing a trend here tonight. The Panthers with a 3-2 win over the Stars. I'll tell you about the Central Division standings, how things shake out, because two third-period goals from Chicago, including one from Patrick Kane, makes it a 2-0 Blackhawk victory over Columbus tonight. The Senators pick up their third straight win. They defeat the Flames, trounce them tonight 6-1. Red Wings 3-3, 5-2 winners over the Predators. Two games postponed. The Sharks and Golden Knights will have to make up their contest along with the Coyotes and Avalanche, Brian. So a lot of action throughout the league, a lot of third-period goals that changed the outcome of several games. And the Central, which has seen Florida remain on top of the division, they stay there, but now a little bit of a separation by points on the 2-4 spots.
Yes, good segue into our check of the NHL standings, brought to you by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods at Dash's Markets. Let's go to Buffalo first here. Unable to pass the Devils. Had they won tonight, you would have passed the Devils and the Rangers. And now Philly is up next to pass, and you have them for here a pair of games this weekend. So, again, it's a point. It just, you just can't, these add up over time. You just can't keep doing these. Here's a point here, give away a point here. I agree with Paul's point. Should have tried to win it in regulation. I don't need him to pull their goalie or anything, but, like, go for that regulation win so New Jersey doesn't get any points at all.
And add this into the equation as well. We may end up sitting here at the end of the season talking about point percentage, not necessarily overall points. And when you look at that, the Devils have only played 15 games. 16 points in 15 games, you're the math major here, is better than 15 points in 17 games.
That's
so
right.
It's even that much more of a win for New Jersey tonight to not only get that extra point, but if having played two fewer games, points percentage-wise, in a much better spot right now.
The Flyers got Claude Giroux back last night, and he had, I believe, three assists in their win over the Rangers. So you're going to have one of their, if they're not their best player, here this weekend, I would assume, which will make that task a little tougher. The Sabres played Philadelphia, though, I thought pretty good. Mm-hmm. But that was back essentially, what, the tail end of the first week of the season. So a lot has happened, and the lineup looks much different. And who knows if even the Sabres' best player will play or their best goaltender will play. That's all questions we won't know till Saturday.
Yeah, and Philadelphia is one of those teams. They were a very, I think, not a pleasant surprise, but maybe performed higher than expectations last year with Alain Vigneault behind the bench, and Carter Hart turned into an all-world goaltender last year. 21 points in 16 games, so it's not like they're not performing well, but I think when all is said and done, when the division shakes out, they won't be sitting in fourth or third. They'll be one or two in the division, so they're a team that I think definitely will be getting even better and getting more on a roll. As you mentioned, you know, their lineup has changed and evolved, as they were one of the teams early on that and even the last week or so has had a lot of players in the COVID restricted list.
Since you and I have last chatted, Montreal has changed coaches. They have a 9-5-4 record. They end up losing in overtime to Ottawa, which may have been the final trigger to that, which is weird because if you saw from that game, Montreal actually scored toward the end of that game. It was disallowed because of goaltender interference, a call that I disagreed with, but that goal goes in, maybe Claude Julien still behind the bench.
You remember, you go back a couple of years, wasn't it Michel Therrien was the head coach, and Claude Julien was relieved of duties in Boston.
And then he became available and went there.
Right.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Almost immediate that change happened. So this is somebody that Marc Bergevin went after and aggressively made the change at the time. So for that to happen now, and I know Dominic Ducharme is a rising star among the coaching ranks. So for Bergevin to make this move, another sign where he doesn't feel like he needs to wait or should wait to kind of shake things up and show the Canadiens that the effort isn't good enough. But definitely, I think, surprising that the move happens for somebody who is so well-revered around the league.
Yeah. One team I want to ask you about before we go here, Chicago. I know you follow them closely. They're only 2 points out of first in the Central. They've been hanging with Tampa and Florida and Carolina all year. 11-6-4, I did not see Chicago being even a playoff team this year, but they look good.
And goaltending, to me, has been one of the big things for them with Lankin in goal this year. And, you know, Corey Crawford has at times stolen them games and when the offense hasn't been there over the last couple of years, but they really haven't put together, I don't think, that really solid team effort game in and game out, something that they hadn't done under Jeremy Colleton really since he took over. A team that they won 3 Stanley Cups, and you're seeing the effects of having to keep that core together for a while. But, yeah, this is a year where things are different. They go into Columbus and score twice in the third tonight and win. And they've played teams like Columbus, who I think we went into this year saying they're probably going to be towards the top of that division. They played them tough.
Yep.
And Columbus, they're right there with Carolina. And Chicago really definitely has surprised and I think played much better than expectations.
For sure, no doubt. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Brian.
Sabres and Flyers for a pair of games this weekend. They're both afternoon games. One is at 1 o'clock on Saturday. The other is at 3 on Sunday. I'll be with you an hour ahead of time on both for the Paul William Belts pregame show. And we'll have lots to talk about. Will Jeff Skinner play? We'll have that conversation, I'm sure, still going on. Will Jack Eichel play due to the injury? Who will be in goal? Lots to get to here. May have some more news on even fans being in the building sooner than later. I know the plan was announced today in March at some point. But let's remember this is the last weekend of February, so it'll be March before we know it. But two games with Philly this weekend. Hope you can join us then. For now, though, we will say goodnight to you here from KeyBank Center on our Paul William Belts postgame show. Want to thank our crew back in our Amherst studios. TJ Luckman, our network producer. Kyle Powell on our social media. Pat Malacaro here. Jonathan Colziel here as well in the booth. Thank you, gentlemen. Paul Hamilton, our reporter. Our pregame show host was Mike Shope, and our game announcers Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. Again, the final in overtime. New Jersey 4, Buffalo 3. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Saturday afternoon right here from downtown Buffalo on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.